Yesterday I came home. I was distraught.
What happened?
Stuff happened yesterday
that made me
distraught. Yeah, there were some drums. Nothing involving TYT. It was just an organization that is just making my life difficult for no reason at all. It's a big misunderstanding. Anyway, I get news of this as I'm driving home from work. It made me upset. I go inside the house and of course Charlie sees me and he's excited. He's always excited to see me.
Why?
I don't know. It's weird.
Idiot.
And it's crazy how much, I don't know if it's animals in general, but certainly dogs, like they know when you're upset. They freaking know. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time Charlie saw me cry. This is before, he was like a tiny little puppy, had never jumped on the couch or any furniture before. He was on the floor playing with one of his chew toys. I was on the couch crying, and then all of a sudden he heard me sob or something, and he looked up, saw me crying, jumped up on the couch, just so he can start licking my face and licking my tears. That is love right there, right?
Or he just thinks tears are delicious.
Probably. He's like, oh, I'm thirsty.
They're salty. Well, my dog licks me after the gym, man. Like,
yeah.
She's weird about
it's
that
it's the
stuff.
Salt.
But
just,
I but
or
I
love.
It
or
well.
Love.
It's,
it could be love.
It's
so
love. It's love.
With it is. Like, we share a connection with this thing because we both have dogs that it gets borderline how obsessed we are with them. Like, if I bring Luna in here sometimes, and Cassie loves to take photos of her and everything else. But whenever I'd get in an argument with my girlfriend, she'd probably kill me from saying this, we would both like go into separate rooms and be upset.
And the dog follows you?
And she follows me. And one time I was so upset that I was like, I wasn't crying, but I was just so angry that I was like on the couch. The next minute, Luna was beside me like licking my face and she could tell.
Oh,
and
it's the best.
It was okay to say you were crying.
I just was bawling. Couldn't handle it.
Just,
she had my last protein bar. Couldn't handle it.
There was this one time.
You gotta live with your significant other to understand that one.
There was this one time when, I don't know how this always ends up happening, but Christian and I did get into a fight. And somehow he miraculously gets the bedroom and I end up sleeping on the couch, right? And it's
that's not okay.
That's like the opposite of what usually happens. I wish I was in that form of relationship. I'm always, if I have to
he's
be on
just
the
so likable that I just like concede. And I'm
the
like,
bed
fine.
One, no, the bed one
here's what it is. It's like, I'm fine if it has happened before, I think, with us. It might be just that I snore and she's used to just getting away from it. But I get it. Like, if she's like, no, I'm not going into the bedroom with you, I'm like, well, I'm not gonna leave the bedroom alone tonight. I'm gonna go sleep there and it's your choice to come join me.
Yeah, she fucked up. Like, in that case, here's what Christian does, okay? We'll get into an argument and it gets heated and then it's his strategy, like he immediately goes for the bedroom. And so if he goes for the bedroom and takes the bed, then yeah, by default, and he won't leave. So by default, right, he gets the bed and I'll be like all huffy and puffy and I'll
he took a little round top.
I'll lay on the couch.
Yeah.
And but the reason why I brought this up is same thing. Charlie will come and like try to fit on the couch with me or he'll lay down on the rug next to me. Yeah. And it's like, He's my role dog.
Yeah,
you know?
So you kind of feel like you've won a little bit. You're like, uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly.
I would know like, what happened, the kids come.
I would like to say something about both your dogs, which are empirically adorable.
Oh, okay, good.
However, I would like to say that you both own the kind of dogs I would expect to be owned by 98-year-old women in 1972.
It's so true.
The fashion of the like wispy Farrah Fawcett haired, you know, mini Irish setter shape, mm-hmm, which you have. That's a 70s dog. You have what I guess my grandmother had.
Yes.
Binky and Corky were that kind of dog. So whether it's empirical that they all, people who were that age in 1972 had it or not, that's how I think of your dogs, which I still find adorable. I just would expect you to have like a bigger dog.
Yeah, so would I. But it's the cards that I was dealt. Like, if you go and like have an ideal breed of a dog that you want to get and you go and buy it, I'm not going to judge you. That's fine. That's whatever. I'm just a big fan of rescuing dogs. And we were told about these group of dogs that were in this house that was unfit in LA. And these dogs were all living out the back and they were eating their own shit and all that stuff. And they couldn't even live. Like, it was just awful. So we turned up and there was a bunch of them. There was like these little puppies. I wanted to take them all. But We saw Luna and we were like, all right, we're gonna definitely take this dog. But I want another dog. The only thing is someone told me recently, like a scary, scary story, that they came home and the little dog in the family was like kind of torn up because they got in a fight with the big dog. And I know big dogs are fine if you raise them right. I would just be petrified. Like, I've grown so attached to this dog that I couldn't even imagine. If we're going to get another dog, it probably will be a similar dog. And I'll be a two dogs like a 78-year-old woman.
Yeah, Omie Dog, which you can follow on Twitter at twitter.com/OMIEDAWG, was a rescue. Is that I got a bunch of, now my ex-girlfriend has them, or took them. But Omie Dog was a rescue from Linda Blair's foundation. Linda Blair was the girl in The Exorcist who now has like a dog sanctuary.
Yeah.
But I named him Omie because I rescued him, so he owes me.
You're terrible.
Good way to name it.
But I think if you get a puppy.
Yeah.
And you have Luna, I'm pretty sure Luna will be like, all right, regardless of how the humans behave, I will raise this puppy, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. But she's turned into like a princess that it's just like, will she get jealous? Because like it's my
she
fault.
She will.
It's my fault. Yeah. I treat that dog like a human being.
Keep one dog.
I don't like leaving her on her own. That's why.
Yeah, I feel the same way. But they're fine. They're fine. And I don't want two dogs running around in my place. Like it's not. Big enough.
Hectic with one. An old neighbor of mine used to turn on her TV when she left her dog because she thought her dog would just sit and watch TV.
I turn the light on. I leave the light on.
Just in case
he
wants to read or anything like that.
I feel weird leaving my dog in the dark. Yeah. And also, we crate trained him, which at first I thought it was like the worst thing in the world. I'm like, I'm leaving my dog in a cage. I can't believe it. I'm an animal. But now it's really become a safe space for him. And so now he will willingly go in there by himself if we tell him we're about to leave. And if I tried leaving him like roaming around just to see if he would do well with that. But no, he doesn't do well with that. The last time I did it, he like threw up everywhere.
Really?
And he never throws up. Yeah, I think it freaked
him out. Oh, just
got
overwhelmed by the amount of space. We didn't do that.
Yeah.
And I went through the exact same transition and I was still in college though, so I just didn't even know how to deal with it. So we didn't train her. We just let her. She still sleeps on the bed. She still sleeps in between two pillows, like she's got her own spot. And it just was the worst decision ever because now we feel awful. Luckily, my girlfriend's family lives close by that we can just drop her off. And she's got the family down. They've got a family dog that she's friends with. But it's still like we definitely messed up.
These are.
The days of our lives.
These are our children. Like, and I'm not saying that they're like kids. No. Like, I think our generation, like, there's a TYT page. It's a closed page where we share stories and pictures and videos and whatever of our pets. And we brag about our pets the way previous generations brag about their kids. Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing though, like I don't think it's generational to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because I think of a bunch of people of all ages, as soon as you put an outfit on your dog, you're treating it like a person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like it has a coat, a fur coat. It is wearing clothes.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Even when it's naked.
Yeah.
I'm disturbed. I have this cat now and it picks her in the argument. There's not even an argument, just like the cat obviously prefers her to me because she's not allergic to cats and she just she knows how to like pet them.
Are you allergic?
Yeah.
That's so unfortunate.
So I'm like, I look like a neurotic freak show because as soon as the cat gets up, I've got my lint roller and I'm just getting rid of hair.
But
what I don't like about cats is they can get on tables.
Yeah.
Dogs, for some reason, if it's above this high, it's not interested.
Yeah.
Cats, the thing jumps from the ground onto a surface this high.
Yeah.
And then, like,
amazing.
Just to be intimidating.
A dog, if I was like this, like working, a dog would sit there and look up at me, like, hey, what are we doing next? Mm-hmm. The cat will just get here.
Yeah.
Like, if I have my computer open, its face will be right here. And I'll be like this, and he'll try to put it on my face, which is like swatting me with poison.
Right.
Because my eye will just explode. It's just a completely different creature altogether.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, I don't know. I don't know what I was going to say.
Well, my totally friend forgot. Said the difference between cats and dogs is cats think they're one of you. No, dogs think they're one of you. And cats think you're one of them.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point.
I just sat in stunned silence for like 5 minutes working that out in my head. I was like,
wait, that's so brilliant. True.
That is good.
I have the same conversation with my brother, who's a new dad recently, and every time I find myself, it's embarrassing whenever he's sharing stories of his daughter. He's like, "Oh, Carmela did this." I'm like, "Oh, that was so funny. Luna did this the other day," and he's like, "You serious? You're really trying to compare what's going on with your dog to your baby?" And then I start to get defensive, and I'm like, "You can strap a nappy on that baby, and it's not shitting everywhere. Try a puppy that just has just free reign, poops everywhere."
Here's the thing.
Translating.
Parents, especially especially new parents, right? I think they find it insulting when we, like, because being a parent is so hard, which is precisely the reason why I haven't had kids yet and maybe won't, right? Like, it's hard and it's exhausting. But at the same time, sometimes parents will post memes on social media that really annoy me. Like, "Oh, you think you're tired? Try having a kid." Like, yeah, I can be tired if I don't have kids. It's okay to be tired if I don't have kids. How about that? Okay.
But it is. I'm sure. Like, as soon as you have kids,
I know it's much more tiring.
Like, yeah,
but you
right.
made that decision, okay? No, don't hate on me. And I can be tired too. Like,
I got off the plane in Scotland, and it was the first time I'd seen my brother since he had the baby, and I was like, "Whoa!
Oh my
what
god!
What happened?"
Different.
Same thing happened with me, and you know, my experience with my brother. You know, they have a baby now, and it's just.
The age.
They love to sleep. I'm a morning person. They do. And yeah. I'm a morning person, so I'm always up and chipper in the morning. My brother and sister-in-law, not morning people.
Yeah.
And so you lose your sleep. And I just remember, like, my sister-in-law especially always wanted to have a huge family, always wanted to have lots of kids. And thought, she admitted, she thought it was gonna be way easier than it is, right? And then now when we talk about it, and she's like, "I don't think people realize how hard it is. It's so hard." And I'm like, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Donald Trump did. She's like, "No one could have realized how hard it was to do this." There's zero time off being the parent in the room.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I was like, we changed. Yeah, definitely.
And now,
how would you know besides you have a kid? Yeah.
Do you have a dog?
And now dog owner, which was again against my will.
Right.
So, but then there's this comparison, and then even in the house, when it gets tossed around, to Wyatt, "You have a new little brother." I said, "No. He does not have a new little brother. That's a fucking dog."
So
I hate those terms. This is not a brother.
Yes.
That is not a sister. That is a dog. If he had a new little brother, would he be walking him? I tell him, "Hey, make sure you feed your little brother." No. So this is not the case. Let's make sure everybody doesn't lose their minds of what's really happening here.
So,
this is an animal.
But what are you to the dog then?
And it's daddy and mom. No. I am this guy who doesn't want you here. That's who I am.
This is mommy.
This dog is just
your brother.
A bastard. It doesn't have
and
a mom or a dad.
Angry. Do you think though that having a dog, you had a dog before you had a kid?
As a kid, and as a family dog. It wasn't just mine.
But do you think that prepares you? Like, you have a dog now, you have a kid. Do you think that, like, having the dog prepares you for at least the dynamic of having to take care of something?
I think so. I never had a dog as an adult. I always wanted it because, as Anna said, if you think you're tired, you chose to have the kid, right?
Right.
As an adult, after college, I was like, "I want a dog, I want a dog, I want a dog." And I was like, "I don't want a dog because I don't want that responsibility. I don't want to have to take care of anything."
Yeah.
And it was the best decision. With a kid, it's that you got to do it. So I'm glad I took that whole time off because I didn't want to have any other responsibilities, and I didn't. So it has to prepare you to a degree to actually care about another creature that only depends on you. Of course, there's no such thing, obviously, as crate training your kid and leaving for 8 hours and going to work. So that's still a big difference, but
how would that
you still
work?
Have to.
It's called elementary school.
How would that work?
Yeah.
A bunch of rich people do it. They're called nannies.
Oh yeah.
So they just toss it off and never really know their kid anyway.
There's the thing about having someone who's a stranger raising your kid, which honestly I don't really have a problem with. But it's more the cost of it, right? Like.
Yeah.
My brother was spending more on the nanny per month than I was paying in rent.
Yep.
And I just didn't.
Well, the nanny has to pay their own rent, and that's their job.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it would be more than rent.
So much.
And it.
That's the thing. Is like.
Yeah.
It goes into like a big old conversation you could probably have. Like, I come from obviously two different backgrounds. Nannying just isn't a thing where I'm from. Like, if you've got a nanny, you're either super loaded or the mom is considered not wanting to raise the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not means to take offense. It's just that in our system, it has its flaws, but we do give time off to both parents, a lot of time off to raise the kids.
And ideal.
In this country, it doesn't value those ideals. For being so strict as well, like about their strong Christian values and everything, like they don't give adequate support to new parents when it comes to that. So nannies are such a popular thing here, and I still, I don't know if I'm going to be able to adjust to that or even give it a thought within this country, because it's just not what I'm
It's tough, because then also I said rich people, and maybe people who have nannies could take offense to it. But I know a couple, a married couple, who they're not rich, but one of them works strictly to pay for the nanny so she can work.
That's crazy. Wow. To make like, it's like a business. It's like an overhead.
Her entire salary goes to,
But you know why? I think, I'm going to keep it real. And I think there are women out there that can relate to this, but they might feel ashamed to admit it. Being a stay-at-home mom is one of the most difficult things to do, especially if you are accustomed to working and having a career and all that. I couldn't do it, right? So do I want paid maternity leave? Absolutely. I want to be there for like the first couple months. And then after that, I will probably lose my mind.
Yeah, well, you send them off to boarding school, you'll be fine.
No, and then, I mean, and it's
come back
and
when you're 18, here's a suitcase and $400.
I don't know, it sucks, because if you make the decision to be a mom, then you should be able to be a mom, right? But I just, I don't know.
There needs to be balance. That's the thing.
You need
time away. You need time with. Because I guarantee you, you take 3 months of maternity leave, which doesn't exist here.
Yeah.
Then when you do go back to work, you may have these tugs of like, I want to go back to work.
You feel guilty.
As soon as you go, though, you're going to want to come back home.
Yeah,
Ben talked about that on the post game before, I think. He's like, this kid drives me crazy, but I can't wait to get back to her. Yeah. It's just now you're torn. Now your brain, you're like, you've discovered this part of you that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, my friend was talking about like just the chemical changes he feels. Mm-hmm. He's a very like, you know, cerebral person. And he's like, no, it's weird. Like chemically, I am aware of my child at all times somehow.
It's weird.
Like, it's I feel different inside. Mm-hmm. And that's his way of saying, I've discovered love. But weird robotic way. He's also like, he said something like there's an awareness that you have if the kid's like in the bed with you where you won't roll over on it. Like,
that's true. I slept on the couch in the living room, not out of arguments, for the first 4 months because I was night shift. That was just my choice. I wanted to do that. And I slept on my side. He slept in front of me. It could have easily been a suffocating situation. People say don't do it. I never moved. I knew where he was at all times. I slept walking with the kid. Like there's things you just do. Maybe some people don't have it, but again, there's this awareness you have. He'd be in another room and I hear him before he's really even, I hear shuffling. A room in a hallway away, I hear it. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy because you've conditioned yourself to become that type of person. And I'm sure it doesn't happen with everyone. It's just what you have. You just kind of
weird.
I feel you. I had a similar experience with Charlie. Like the first couple months that we had, I'm kidding.
I was like, is she gonna do it?
I don't know what to believe.
I love how JR was like taking me seriously. Like,
I was too.
Because you know what?
That was really good.
Because I'm trying really hard not to be the parent in the room that's like, God, these dogs
don't know
anything. So I didn't want to discredit anything you were saying before. I want you to finish before I said bullshit.
Well, you're already a big problem here, JR. That's what I was going to say, is that you're already creating a bad image for every other parent to follow up. Because if you haven't seen JR's kid, it's probably the cutest kid you'll ever see in your life. And then you just throw a dog in there as well. Like, what are you trying to do?
It's stupid.
Just trying to
I saw him on the beach with his kid the other day, and it was the most adorable thing ever. It was really hard to find ways to make fun
of
it.
Did you have an urge to take the kid? Because I have open arts to take JL's.
No, because he's better at baseball than I am.
Yeah.
That's why.
You couldn't tell how extremely tired I was. That's the other thing. We mask it. Your brother probably aged. He has extra gray hairs or something.
I turned up and I was like, all right, this has gave me a new outlook on how rushed I want to be in that stage of my life. I want to keep everything intact for as long as I can.
Although, I don't know if this is the case with everyone, but I feel like the older I get, the less interested I am. I don't know, that might change.
Well, I think that I was gonna go back to it was a good point you made that obviously things are changing now if in the right way that women don't feel so inclined to choose one or the other.
Right.
And that there should be laws put in place in order to uphold that, especially in one of the most progressive countries in the world where women are so important to shifting society moving forward. So there shouldn't be this choice that's necessary. So I feel like, I can't speak for women everywhere, but I feel like that has got to play on the minds if you're like working so hard, fighting against the grain more often than not to get somewhere. And then if you want to start a family, that back of your mind worry that you're going to regress and that the position that you are going to be in might not be there, or you might not be given the ability to go forth and push for it. So I feel as if that is a very valid thing to think about.
Yeah, of course. That's something I think about. But more importantly, like, I just know, and I go back and forth. Like, there have been post-game shows months and months back where I'm just like, no, I'm going to have one kid at least for sure. And then I change my mind because I have moments where I realize how flawed I am and how much that could negatively impact my parenting. Like, I'm super impatient. I'm a little, like, ragey at times.
This is the thing.
Yeah, right? Both those things. Keep going. What else? What else is wrong with you?
Yeah, let's keep going. I like it.
Impatient and ragey. Those are the two things.
Don't let it.
You're the wrong height.
don't let it keep you from it, because I grew up notoriously impatient.
Yeah.
I'm still impatient. But people always say having a kid will teach you patience, right?
Yeah.
It's true.
I hope.
Except what it did to me was it taught me patience with a kid. So it taught me even less patience with adults, because I'm thinking, this 3-year-old heard me after 5 minutes. How the fuck can't you understand anything?
That's actually, yeah, I've heard that before as well. One of my best friends from home in Scotland is the kid that he was never not in a fight. Like, we'd go out at night, and fighting's pretty popular in Scotland, but he would always find a fight regardless. He now has two young boys, and he's undoubtedly the best dad. Like, he comes and we joke and have a laugh. He came and visited last year and I brought him in the studio, and sometimes I just sit and watch him because I'm like, that's not the guy I grew up with. Like, he was so irrational. He couldn't listen to any other points. And the same thing goes when I recently witnessed my brother as well. Was like, so impatient, constantly would respond to me, and I'm sitting watching him with his baby and I was like, where was that guy when I was growing up, man? I wish he had that level of patience for me. But I think that there's parts of your personality that are just, they just switch as soon as you have a child.
You're too tired.
I have no time for this. I have a friend who didn't want kids for the longest time, and he had a long-term girlfriend and they broke up because of it. And he, it was a gut, heart-wrenching breakup. It was like, we just have two opposite approaches. I don't want kids, you do. We can't stay together anymore, even we've been together for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then his brother had kids.
Oh no.
And his brother, that changed him. He just saw his brother's kids. He's like, oh my goodness, my brother having these kids. And then for him, I think it was that he could never picture his brother having kids, but once he did, if he can handle it, and those are like his flesh and blood, and it works all right, and he thinks they're pretty cool, they got back together, and now they got two kids.
Wow. Are they happy?
They're super happy.
Yeah. See?
Great.
What a
great
you
story.
Never know. You never know.
You never
know. It's a happy ending.
You never know.
It's hard to tell.
That's the one that Ricky Strom used to make me tell over and over again, because when they broke up, he drove through the night and was delirious the next morning at work. Because I worked with him, and the boss was like, what's the matter? She talked like that. What's the matter? You're heartbroken? And this guy you just hear him go.
Oh, no.
Poor guy. It was
amazing. The day after a breakup's the worst.
Ricky calls me and makes me tell that story, like out of nowhere. He'll be like, hey, can you tell me that story again?
That's hilarious.
He's like going to bed. I have a bedtime story.
He'll have me tell it to this girl.
All right, guys, that does it for the post game. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you tomorrow.